The podcast you are about to hear contains adult themes, including, but certainly not limited to, bloody, sexy imagery, profane enthusiasm, gay giggles, and horror film spoilers. If this lewd behavior will displease you, feel free to exit this podcast zone. If you're unsure, check out the overture to get a taste of what's to come. If you're definitely sticking with us, strap in and let's go.
All right, I need everyone to rise for the national anthem.
There's no way this is good audio.
I know, there's no way this audio is good at all. Wait, hold on. Do you hear that, everyone?
Barely, babe.
Barely? Well, if you're not listening, that is the beautiful dulcet sounds of Red Right Hand by Mr. Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. And you want to know why, Jesse? It's because it's the motherfucking Screamisode. That's right, everyone.
Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go.
We definitely had our hands over our hearts.
I know, I was definitely pledging allegiance.
Yeah, I pledged allegiance to the flag as well.
Of Ghostface. All right, welcome. If you're unfamiliar with what's happening and who we are, hello, my name is Alyssa. I am joined by...
My name is Jesse. I am the other co-host of this podcast.
Slay. And this podcast is Final Girl Standing, a podcast where Jesse and I take horror movie heroines, final girls, from famous horror movies. We pit them against each other in a March Madness style bracket to see who will be
the final girl standing.
And as you could tell from that chaotic opening, we have approached the Screamisode, folks. For those of you who don't know me personally, What is there to say? What is there to say about Scream?
One of the first things you're ever going to learn about Alyssa upon meeting them is that they love Scream. It's probably it's in like every bio of every social media they've ever had. Like it's it's part of the
slut
lore
for Scream.
It's deep within their blood. Yeah,
100%. So I told Jesse before we started recording, like, I really am gonna try as hard as possible to not be like deeply insufferable. But if you do want to like be insufferable with me and like kiki about Scream, what's our email? Email us. I'm sure it's in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll share it in the show at the end.
We'll share it or DM us on the social media, and we can set up a Zoom meeting in which I talk at you for 4 hours about Scream. So. With that being said, let's fucking get this Screamisode fucking up and rolling. But before we do, Jesse, we gotta do what we do in this podcast.
I know we're excited, but we gotta keep the structure.
I know we gotta keep it together.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so what I need to do is define for all of you all what a final girl is, because we got excited.
Please
we
do.
Talk about the March Madness style bracket, right? Okay, we know, but how did we actually choose these final girls? What are they? Okay, let's get through them. You know them, you love them. If you've been listening to the pod, okay, they have to survive the film. A certain number of people have to die in order for her to be considered the final girl. She's
correct.
A key player in eliminating the threat. The one left to tell the tale, the story, embodies the spirit of the final girl.
Oh, yes.
And franchise bitches will get their own season, and we're in that very season.
You're listening to it right now.
Okay, but the final rule, of course, is that we reserve the right to break these rules at any time. However, we are not breaking any rules today. Sydney Prescott is... one of the most iconic final girl franchise ladies of all time. So
Sydney is the model. Sydney is the mold.
Sydney's the mold. And we're here to pay homage.
Homepage, if you will.
Homepage, if you will. No one will. But
no one will. No one will pay homepage.
Except for us, god damn it.
Except for us. Okay. Also, just want to shout out that if for whatever reason you are listening to this episode and you are familiar with our previous seasons, the structure of this episode and this season is slightly different than previous seasons. Not too different, but just slightly. So if you want more information about that, please see the Overture, where we discuss how this episode structure is different. But with that... should we fucking do it to it?
Yeah, let's fucking go. Please give us your dissertation. I'm beyond ready.
Okay, again, like I said, dear listeners, I'm desperately trying not to be insufferable, but the content that is Scream, that is Sydney Prescott, is a rich text, okay? But with that being said, I'm just going to go right into it. Sydney Prescott is a surprisingly well-adjusted trauma victim who grew up in the fictional town of Woodsboro, California. Through the course of 5 movies and 28 years of a horror franchise, Sydney has been a theater major, a crisis counselor, a New York Times best-selling author, and ultimately, a survivor. Snaps for Sydney.
Snaps to that.
Snaps for Sydney. Okay, I am also going to break down Sydney's canon events. So, again, if you're unfamiliar with the structure episode, see the Overture. But basically, I'm going to break down some of the major life events of Sydney Prescott. And again, as I mentioned, Sydney Prescott covers the course of 5 films. And so I tried really hard to just like keep it fucking brief. But ultimately, I came up with 23 canon events in Sydney's life. So
just a modest 23.
Just a modest 23, right? And so what I'm going to try to do, Jesse, is I'm going to try to like rapid fire these so that way it's not like we're spending a whole hour on me just like giving the background.
That's so
fair. And
like
if you don't know the context, like maybe you've seen like a Scream movie, some other Scream movies, like not all of the Scream movies, I'm going to try to just like sum it up for you, okay? So everyone lock in, okay?
Yeah, I'll gird my loins.
Okay. Trigger, also content warning for sexual violence in this first canon event. So I'm so sorry to start off like that.
Yikes. Yeah, let's go.
But Sydney Prescott, canon event number one. Sydney's mother is brutally raped and murdered when she is 15 years old. Canon event number two. A year after her mother dies, people in the town of Woodsboro, the California town that she lives in, start dropping like flies due to a masked killer terrorizing the town. Number three. Sydney's boyfriend is, who we all know is Billy Loomis. Billy Loomis is caught and assumed to be the killer, but is exonerated, leaving Sydney to gaslight herself, thinking that she, you know, was like accusing her boyfriend of something he didn't do. Number four, Sydney's best friend in the whole wide world, Tatum, is brutally murdered by Ghostface. Number five, Sydney loses her virginity to Billy Loomis. Number six, Sydney fights and kills Billy and Stu, who are, of course, the first two ghost faces of the Scream franchise. Number seven, we're into movie two now. Number seven, Sydney goes off to college at Windsor College and majors in theater.
We love.
Number eight, Ghostface is back and doing what he does best. Number nine, Ghostface kills Sydney's best friend, Hallie. Number 10, Ghostface kills Sydney's boyfriend, Derek. Number 11, the killers are revealed to be Billy's mom and Mickey. Sydney walks away from the second movie alone, which I think is a very important context that we will dive into later. Canon event number 12. Sydney has become an agoraphobic crisis counselor living in the secluded wilderness of California. She also has weird trauma nightmares about her mom during this time. I also, this is, by number 12, we're on movie number 3, and I'm really just going to bip through number 3 because it's crazy.
We're not even talking about number 3 today, so I love it. Yeah,
exactly. Number 13, Ghostface is back, this time terrorizing the set of the latest Stab movie, People Get Stabbed. Number 14, Sydney unmasks yet another Ghostface who turns out to be Sydney's half-brother. She also learns the power of a bulletproof vest. Now, in this particular Ghostface unveiling, the backstory is very confusing and unclear. Like, she has like a half-brother now. And it's, anyway, if you want to get into that, like I said, DM me. Number 15, Sydney decides to live her life free of fear. And ultimately, at the end of the third movie, she leaves her door open, letting us as the viewer know that she has moved on and that she is healed.
Wow. That's
but beautiful. Then, oh, number 16. Sydney is now 32 years old and returns to her hometown of Woodsboro as the last stop on her book tour for her New York Times bestselling self-help book, Out of Darkness. We are on movie number 4 now.
Wow.
Which is one of the movies that we're talking about today.
Yes.
Number 17, Ghostface does what he does best and starts killing local teens as Sydney stays with her aunt and young cousin Jill. Number 18, Sydney's aunt Kate is killed by Ghostface. Number 19, Sydney's psycho cousin is revealed to be Ghostface and Sydney is stabbed, seemingly to death, by Jill. However, number 20, Sydney survives yet another Ghostface killing spree and delivers the titular line, "Don't fuck with the original."
Wow.
Number 21, we're now on movie 5. Number 21, 25 years later, and Ghostface still be on his bullshit. However, Sydney is now living far away from Woodsboro with her husband named Mark, her kids, and a gun.
What?
Number 22.
Okay, I haven't seen
You gotta watch 5, babe. You gotta watch 5.
Sydney's a mom?
Number 22.
Okay.
Yeah, Sydney's a mom now. And it's, okay, also, quick pause. We are recording this before Scream 7 comes out, which is coming out in February.
Yes.
I don't know when this is gonna be released, but in February of 2026.
Yes.
And again, if you want to have discourse about it, please hit me up because I have thoughts.
Yes. Elsa anyway. Has like gotten me on the phone to let me in on some of the drama and the tea. And I do like want to be I want to be a part of the conversation. But I also need to see the other new films. Okay, we can't. We got to keep going.
We'll figure it out. Okay. We have two more canon events.
Okay.
Okay. 22. Number 22. Dewey is tragically murdered by Ghostface, forcing Sydney to return to Woodsboro yet again. I know that's a big spoiler for you, babe. I'm so sorry.
What the fuck? Okay, it's fine.
I know.
Sorry.
I said
fuck so loud into the microphone.
It's fine. Okay. Fuck! Number 23. Sydney and the new generation unmask yet another ghost face, and Sydney dips to return to her life away from all this bullshit. And that's where we leave Sydney at the end of movie 5.
Damn. R.I.P. Dewey.
Yeah.
I'm undone by that. Okay. Well,
yeah.
Fuck. Now that we know that.
Yeah, it's really, it's honestly, it's very sad. But there's, again, discourse. Anyway.
Okay, so we need to talk a little bit about, like, the structure of this season. Because as we know, we are taking two iterations of Sydney Prescott. And then we are making them fight. So we're not going to, like, take into account, like, every single canon event. We just need to do that to bless and homage the ladies. So
correct.
We're taking Scream 2 and Scream 4 Sydney.
Yes, which I don't think we have mentioned at the top of this episode.
No, I know. That's why I'm trying to, like, yeah.
You're trying to bring
the audience with us.
Yeah, no. Okay. I think now is time for us to do one of the most important things of the episode, which is astrological speculations.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad you brought this up.
Yeah, I really am interested to hear what you have to say because the – anyway, just go and then I'll get in there.
Okay, so I have my speculations, as one does who's obsessed with astrology. But
correct,
what we need to know, or what I need to tell you all, is that Alyssa has the chart. Like, Alyssa's
I have
got
the chart.
The documents.
And I have prelude to the chart. Like, I have a disclaimer.
Okay, well,
But I'll make that clear once you've speculated.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I would like to reveal my speculations first. And give a couple of reasons for them. And then I gotta know. And I think I'm so nervous because I just feel like I'm super wrong.
Babe, you've never done anything wrong a day in your life. So I don't know what you're talking about. I'm being really honest. Wow, I don't think you've ever sinned once. I don't think you've ever. I believe in your rights and your wrongs. Okay.
Bless. Thank you. Okay. So here's what I think. I think there is a chance that she is an Aries sun.
Okay.
Now, there's a few things she says and does that's it's giving Aries. She's very like action oriented. I have all kinds of notes about that, but there are certain phrases. You're forgetting one thing about Bailey Loomis. I fucking killed him.
Killed him.
Like, that's some Aries shit.
The line deliveries on this bitch are crazy.
Yes, it's incredible. When her boyfriend, because of course we're focusing on Scream 2 right now. Like, some of these speculations came up in Scream 2 first. Mm-hmm. And one of them was that she liked when her boyfriend did that thing in the cafeteria, which I like thought maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I romantic would, gesture vibe.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be super cringe, but instead she was super happy. And I was like, So I thought maybe Leo Venus, you know what I mean? So like relationships needing to be like big creative displays of affection. Maybe she was into the attention. I don't know.
Okay.
Also, like, I don't know. Okay. But for her moon.
Yes.
There was a part where somebody said, it's okay to break. And she said, it's not going to happen. And that was like moon of steel, like maybe Scorpio, because she also like deals with a lot of trauma and she can like keep it locked down.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, those are rising. I'm still a question mark. I don't know.
Okay. Well, to be fair, I don't have her rising because I don't have the time.
Okay. That makes me feel better. I do want to hear other people's thoughts, though. So maybe that's later whenever we talk about, like, you know, when we have our four-hour talk about things.
When people jump on the four-hour dissertation. Yeah, for sure. Okay. So are you ready for this?
Okay.
Because I'm going to be real honest with you. That's, like, I think that's a pretty fair, like, assumption. It's not super accurate to, like, what we have.
Yeah,
but I think... Okay, but here, let me just lay it on you, okay?
Yeah.
So, this is the disclaimer.
Yeah.
According to Wiki Fandoms, she was born March 14th, 1979. Now, how Wiki Fandoms acquired this date is incredibly dubious to me because I have seen every single minute and every single second of every single Scream movie and every Scream content produced, and this birth date is never mentioned once in the franchise. So Wiki Fandoms assigned her this birth date based on like dubious information. However, the reason that I am willing to accept the information is because the chart that it produced feels correct. Now, to clarify, the way that I came about this chart is I inputted March 14th, 1979, and I assumed that her birth location is Woodsboro, California. Now, Woodsboro, California is not a real place. However, Santa Rosa, California, where Woodsboro, California is where Woodsboro was filmed, right, is a real place. So in conjunction of a March 14th, 1979 birth date and the location of Santa Rosa, here is the chart.
Wait.
Sun, Pisces.
She's Pisces. I just like.
Moon, Libra. Mercury, Aries.
Okay.
Venus, it's so interesting. This feels correct to me just because of the trauma. Venus, Aquarius.
Oh.
Mars, Pisces.
Oh.
I don't agree with the Mars, but I think everything else makes sense to me.
Mercury, Aries is correct.
Yeah.
Pisces.
I had a feeling that you were going to be like, I don't know about this, but like, I'm going to be real honest with you. Something that I talk about, especially in the notes for the fourth movie, is that like she's a really like kind, empathetic, like emotional bitch.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Those are my thoughts. That's what we have. And again, this information is dubious.
The Pisces throws me, but I
really
I think I can accept it. Mm-hmm. No, I think I can accept it. She is emo for sure. And yeah, okay. I'll accept it.
Okay. Well, thank you with that so being much said,
no, the critical details are. Thank you. I need them.
Yeah. No. I. This is the Screamisode. I had to do the research. You know.
Yeah. Astrology continues to reveal to me that all that I know is I know nothing. So
it's correct. Fine. Yeah. Okay. So with that being said, should we hop into our scores for Scream 2 and Scream 4?
Yeah. Sydney? Let's do it. Yay.
Okay, wait, who goes first? I don't remember who goes first.
I don't know who wants to go first.
I don't know.
Okay, how about you go first on this one, and then I go first.
And you go first on the next one?
Sure. Who cares?
Okay. Okay. So, here we go. These are my scores for One Miss Sydney Prescott in the film Scream 2. So, the first thing I will say is that right out the bat, we have established that she has acquired caller ID. She's like, you know what I mean? Like, she's like, I'm going to solve the first main issue with this fucking problem that I have. And that is acquire caller ID.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Slay. Right. I gave her 10 out of 10 Radio Shacks for that.
Wait, can I just, if I have the same something, can I just like tell you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah,
why reiterate it, right?
Yeah.
I gave her 100 Steve Jobs for caller ID.
100 Steve Jobs.
Okay, please continue. Radio Shack is okay. Too good. Okay.
Okay. Also, Clock, she knows them. She knows those penal codes. She knows those police penal codes. Mm. So pop off queen. I also like it, like I will say like a lot of my notes in this movie are like Sydney Prescott, specifically Neve Campbell, is the hottest she's ever been in Scream 2. Like, okay. She's so hot. Anyway, important note, she does not fuck with organized religion, which is something that she like mentions to her roommate. And that feels very like, I don't know, I fuck with it, you know?
I put 10 out of 10 wit for, you know, I don't like organized religion. And she said, it's a sorority. Like, okay, keep going.
Okay. Also, the moody, brooding face, like the face card never declines in this movie. Like, never. She is serving moody looks in this one. And honestly, like in all of them, but like in this one in particular, she's giving real angst, you know?
Yes.
Okay. Is a theater major. You know, and the question I have as someone who went to musical theater college is what was the audition monologue like to get into the BFA program at Windsor College? You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes.
You know, so, yeah. Something else that I put in this particular movie is that like she is really fucking determined to live a normal ass life despite all the shit that's happened to her. Like she's like, I'm not going to let the bullshit that's happened to me like fucking like ruin and like end my life. She's like, yes. I'm 20 years old. Like I'm, you know, I'm whatever. Like I'm going to like live my goddamn life, you know? And I'm like, hell yeah, bitch.
Perseverance.
Yeah. She absolutely bitch slaps Gale Weathers yet again. And that's a 10 out of 10 cunty diva for me. Something that I say a lot and that I'm going to say a lot probably honestly, is that she's extremely well adjusted, all things considered.
Like, yeah.
And like, I like, again, discourse that we can talk about at a later time. Like, I would say that that is honestly true of her for the majority of the franchise, with the exception of movie 3.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's something that I keep coming back to is that like, considering all the shit she goes through, like we'll get to it in movie 4, but like she's so fucking well adjusted.
Is it like a Taurus rising, maybe?
You know, Taurus rising. The grounding.
Yeah,
for sure. Okay. The urge to pick up a phone, like anytime a phone is ringing, she's going to pick it up. And I'm just like, babe, like, let's unplug. You know what I mean?
May I say?
Yeah, please.
Because, oh my God, can't resist a phone call. Minus 10 points for being a little fishy, ready to take the bait. Like,
totally.
She's a little fishy. Like,
she will never resist the urge to pick up a call.
Wait, isn't a Pisces sign a little fish? Okay.
It is.
Oh, shit.
okay. Something that I do say is that she gaslights herself a lot, like in this movie, and like honestly the first movie is nothing but her gaslighting herself. I know we're not talking about the first movie, but she be gaslighting herself. And so I said, knowing thyself score is pretty low in this movie. Like her know thyself score is honestly one of the reasons that like I think her boyfriend ends up being murdered at the end of this film. But she's a fucking fighter, and she tells her drama teacher, she delivers the Oscar-worthy line of "I'm a fighter," right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also something that I think is just important is that she faces her trauma through the power of theater. You know?
Yes.
Like
I do.
give this bitch a Tony. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Where's her Tony?
Where's her Tony? Something that I find notable that we have discussed in previous Final Girl scores is that she has trauma flashbacks.
She does.
She does have trauma flashbacks. And she tends to isolate in reaction to trauma. Like her vibe is like something bad is happening. I need to like get everyone I love out of the way. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Which I feel is like, you know, great on an ethics perspective, but also like unsafe, you know, as far as like a surviving.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not smart.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love her, okay. But you know,
I mean, we love her. We love her. I was going to say, she, incredibly flexible and limber, 10 out of 10 Simone Biles for the exiting of the car, while the ghost face is like unconscious situation. She's also just like kind of has big balls, like in that sense, like she's just like, yeah, we'll just fucking we'll just, you know, exit this way, you know?
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy.
Which is crazy behavior, but
yeah.
Yeah.
But I am going to have to give her a negative 1,000 out of 10 for not listening to her bestie when her bestie was like, we got to run. Like her bestie was like, what are we doing? Like, we need to get the fuck out of here. And she's like, I got to unmask him, which is like, yes, like we should be unmasking him. But like, you know, like
she had listen to your bestie. She had the chance to do that.
100.
And she did not still. Like
100.
So you can't then be like, and now we got to unmask him. It's like, you should have been thinking of that.
Yeah. 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 Okay. A couple more here and then I will hand it over to Yi. 0 out of 10 wound maintenance skills. Her boyfriend gets shot and she's like, oh, and she like puts the, like her hand over the bullet wound. And I'm just like, no, babe. Like, that's not it.
She's not got the first aid, has she?
She's not got the first aid skills. Clap back game is fucking strong though, and like is strong throughout the entire franchise. She is delivering iconic one-liners left and right to these fucking ghost face idiots, you know what I mean? Yes,
correct.
Self-defense skills and just like general fighting skills are incredibly strong. Where did the score go? I gave it a Mr. Miyagi approval.
Oh, karate approval. All right.
I did give her negative points for the fatphobic comment about Billy's mother.
We can't escape the fatphobia in the early 2000s movies. We can't escape the
fatphobia. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Okay, last three. She's always landing the punch. Like, she's never missing the punch. Like, it always lands and it always is brutal, you know? The queen of the double tap. Like, she's never not said, just in case, you know what I mean? Like, let's just make sure, you know? Right?
Yes, yes.
And the last thing that I want to highlight just about my scores, and I think that, like, is a deeper discourse that, again, we can talk about at the 4-hour meeting, is I think that this ending of Scream 2 is the saddest ending of the entire franchise, because like the music that plays at the end is like this very like 90s, like, yeah, you know what I mean? But like, she leaves that college, like she's like leaving the like the scene completely alone with fucking nobody. Like, everyone she loved is like gone. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, it's
and she's
true.
Leaving alone, and it leads into like the third movie when she kind of like goes into psychosis about it, but like, yeah, it's really sad.
It's truly like that movie specifically. Okay, the first one is like, we love the fact that her boyfriend's evil, because then we're like, yeah, fuck that guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like the second one is like, oh, her like nice boyfriend dies,
yeah,
brutally and horribly on the stage of like her theater production, like college set.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, it's like, fuck, like,
and she arguably like caused the death of not actually, but like, she arguably caused the death of her best friend, right, by like not going, like not running away with her, right? Like, that fucking sucks.
Damn. Yeah, hella sad.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway,
time for your scores.
So I marked off the ones that I already said, because I don't want to, like, you know, keep layering on top. So I don't have much for Scream 2. I just basically, I said a similar thing to what you said about her, like, being able to hit. Like, not many final girls have this bitch's right hook. So
yeah,
she comes 100. Out swinging. And I'm like, it's, like, deeply impressive. I also wrote takes the headshot. No fuckery in sight. I know I just said that I'm not going to double up, but I just did twice. So good job.
Do it anyway, babe.
It's your podcast. I had an opposite take about her saying, I need some distance.
Okay.
Because I kind of thought that the boyfriend was being like a little too much. And
yeah.
So I was like 10 out of 10 boundary setting after a traumatic moment and being like,
totally,
I need a little space. Obviously, she does do some pushing away, which is like not super healthy. I get the Aquarius part in that regard. But I was like, you know what? We love a girl who has some boundaries. I have a couple of notes here about the film overall. May I?
Yes, I'm ready.
At the beginning, I wrote, it's a dumbass white movie about some dumbass white girls getting their white asses cut the fuck up. Because I thought that was...
Jada Pinkett Smith really, really gave it to us.
It was so good. And then I'm like, someone got stabbed in the world's most stabbiest environment? Who could have thought that? Like, who could have seen that coming? Okay. That's really all I have for Scream 2. Although I kind of wanted a moral of the story, which I think is that we need to continue to fund the arts in schools.
Yes, because the trauma that she is able to work through, you know?
She works through her trauma with her craft. And also, knowing all of the special effects buttons and stuff like that is what arguably saved her
life.
So, yeah.
I have a very informal moral of the story.
Yeah,
which is more just a hot take on men. and that is, I wrote down at one point, never trust a man, except I guess in this one and only very specific time, which is when her boyfriend was like not the killer.
except for this one time.
Except for this one very specific instance.
Yeah, when you should have trusted him, and when you didn't, he died.
Yeah. Okay, do you want to start with your Scream 4 scores?
Are you liking the interjecting thing? Because, like, you can totally...
Of course, yeah. And I'll do the same thing. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Yay, okay, I love it. So, Scream 4. Oh, wait, I have an expert question for you. Like, I'm seeking expertise. Yes.
Okay.
How long has it been between 2 and 4?
Great question. 4 came out in 2011, and 2 came out in 1997. Three came out in 2000, so roughly 10 years apart is when the next after the first three.
Oh, okay. Wait, that was such a great answer. In the story of Sidney Prescott, how much time has lapsed?
So Sidney Prescott is in the third movie, they say like 21.
Okay. So from
and
six
then
or
in
no, what wait. 21 in the second movie?
No, in the third movie. Oh. She's like 19 in the second movie.
Okay, Slay. Got it.
Yeah. And then in the fourth movie, I think they say she's like 32.
32. Okay, love.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that really tracks for one of the first things I have written about her. Okay, I love
okay,
that.
Okay, yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, so, garage door callback, by the way.
Yes.
I wrote that on the top because I just was like,
love
it. I loved it.
Reference.
Okay. So we first see Sidney Prescott on the scene. Mm-hmm. And my first thought and first thing I wrote down was 9 out of 10 Lorelai Gilmore's with bangs.
yeah, 100.
She's looking like a healthy adult, like well-adjusted. She's got a little tank top on with a little zipper on the shoulder. It's Lorelai Gilmore. And I love that for her. And I saw her and I immediately felt like this like relief and peace for Sidney. I was just like, oh my God, look at how good she's doing. She's thriving.
I have a very particular hot take on the wardrobe of Scream 4, but we can get to it.
Yeah, we did talk about... it is... 2011, is that right?
Yeah, specifically Sydney's wardrobe in this movie. Like, I have hot takes on.
Okay, yeah, I do want to hear that. Okay.
Yeah.
this next one's not necessarily a score, but whoops, Sydney, you cannot play Tiger Lily, babe. Can you
problematic.
Please issue your apology statement. Like, you simply cannot have played
Sydney Prescott, canceled.
Canceled. Oh, this is another comment about the movie itself. I'm so sorry. I know we're straying from Sydney, but just give me...
It's okay.
Needs to do an entire dissertation about the technological advances across the franchise.
Yes. It will be me.
Yes. Okay, yeah, it will be you. Okay, great. Because in this movie in particular, the guy who runs the movie club, not the Culkin, but the other.
He with the webcam on his head.
Yeah. He would have loved Google Glass, you know.
He would have fucking loved Google Glass.
He would have loved
if he didn't get stabbed to death.
Man, if only he didn't get stabbed to death. Poor kid. Okay. All right. Continuing on. Okay. Sorry. Okay. We're going to pause for notebook sounds. Okay.
Yes.
Great. So let's get into Sydney and how she's doing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of Sydney in this movie, so my notes are a few. When the girls see their friend getting stabbed across the street, she runs into the house. Small trauma moment. Not long. Beat for trauma. And then goes to get the cops. Like rolled like a nat 20 for initiative. Right?
100. Yeah. I very similarly am like, something that's like very apparent in this movie is like, she is not afraid to just jump into action. And like, it does not need like... does not need a beat. Like, you're right. She does have, like, that one beat for trauma. And she definitely has a couple of, like, trauma, like, flashback moments in this movie. But, like, she's like, I know what has to be done. I'm going to achieve the obstacle, you know?
Yeah, I'm, like, low-key obsessed with her in this movie because I respect so much, like, the how peaceful she is and how prepared she is to step in.
Yes.
And also the beat for trauma kind of did a weird camera thing, which made me think maybe it wasn't, like, in real time. You know what I mean? Like... Like that maybe it was just an exaggerated pause, but in real life, she actually just got in there and got out, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yes. Okay. I wrote, she won't take the blood money. 7 out of 10.
Yes.
I said 7 out of 10 virtue points.
Okay.
Because I say 7 because she is still continuing to do this. And she's kind of lost a lot of people to this. And she's still gonna keep doing this. And then I wrote, I blame capitalism. Like,
I think Sydney can't be bought. I think Sydney can't be bought.
She can't be bought, but she definitely is making money off of the fact that she has these traumas still because she wrote the
book. But like at the same time, like, I don't know, like this, like there's like there's a whole other thing to be said about like how this happens in real life with people who suffer trauma.
No,
you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Think about all the Disney stars who have like their like, you know, story, you know what I mean? Like victims of stuff.
Yes.
Because like, honestly, like for a lot of people in those situations and scenarios, like that's how they can, that's the only way they can make money.
No, I know.
You know what I mean?
That's why I said I blame capitalism because I'm like.
100.
She's
the exploitation of capitalism.
I was kind of like, you know what? Get your bag. Because
get your bag, diva.
You're making the most out of your situation, but like,
and she like she very intentionally like talks about how she's like when she the like psycho publicist, she's like, did you even read my book? Like yes. The whole point of her book is like she wants to like help people like move through their trauma. You
of
know
course.
What I mean? It's not like it's not solely a cash grab. You know?
No, exactly. She's building awareness. You know, it was just like a moment where I was like, oh, she doesn't take the blood money. We love her for that. And then I was like, is this questionable behavior? And then I decided there is no ethical consumption under capitalism. So whatever.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Heard. Similar note to my note from before. Could it possibly happen at Stabathon? Like, it's like,
could it possibly happen at Stabathon?
Yeah,
who's to say?
Yeah, who could ever know that? This is a question for another expert. Question: is the Robert Rodriguez film of Stab real? Did he actually film that? Like, I guess is my question.
No.
Oh
no, I know. Isn't that cool though? It's a good shout out though.
I got so excited. I was like, did he make like only just the scenes that were stabbed within Scream? Because that would, my heart would explode. Okay. I have beef with Sydney though. Leaves door open for a wind chime.
Yeah.
The wind chime did it is what I wrote. Because at this point I was watching the movie and I was guessing every single person on screen did it. My notes were like, I had to sift through a lot of notes of me just being like, it's probably them. Like, and then
this particular like installment of the franchise is very like the whole Scream franchise is like a very whodunit, you know, franchise. But like this particular one is really like whodunit. You know what I mean?
Who truly done it, though? Yeah. So I said the wind chime did it at that point because I was really,
yes,
you know.
Correct.
But I also wrote the little fishy swims again because she is taking the bait again with this fucking wind chime.
Thing. I, in all caps, says never misses a chance to pick up a phone. Never would she ever miss the chance to pick up a ringing phone.
She can't. It's in her contract. She can't.
It's in her contract.
Okay, then I have strategy 10 out of 10 when she tells mm-hmm. Jill to go hide under the bed, and then she goes mm-hmm. out onto the roof, and then she's like, mm-hmm. go get help. Like,
yeah, 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 it's a good strat.
I was like,
it's a good strat. She's big brain it. Energy.
Yeah. 100. So strategy 10 out of 10. And then at the end, I just wrote pull through out of spite in all caps. But I decided to turn that into more of my, like, reaffirming some of my astrological speculations. Mm-hmm. Like, because at the end, she is, like, completely fucked up. And I think I was just cheering her on to, like, pull through out of spite, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And I wrote yeah. Aries, Sun, Scorpio, Moon, which, as we all know, is incorrect. God damn it.
But, like, is it? Like, again, fuck, what the fuck, Wiki fandoms? Like, what do you mean?
They have more authority than me, you know?
Do they? I mean, I don't know.
I appreciate you okay. thinking of me so legitimately astrologically. Okay. Please tell me your thoughts and scores.
Okay. A lot of the same things. I said that she's really shedding the victim complex like a butterfly from a cocoon in this one. At least trying to.
I'm so glad you said butterfly cocoon because I definitely heard shitting.
She's really shitting herself like a butterfly in a cocoon. No, shedding. Shedding.
No, it's okay. My ears are broken. Please continue.
Okay. New York Times bestselling author. I just gotta, like, you know, she's a New York Times bestselling author, you know. Again, I say it, like, again multiple times in my notes, but, like, I will never get over how well-adjusted this bitch is. You know what I mean?
She gives
like,
me
given
peace.
The amount of, like, yeah, like, given the amount of times this shit has happened to her, she's like, honestly, bro, like, I've made peace with it. You know what I mean? Okay, I also, like, very similarly, like, when you're talking about how, like, she, like, rolled a nat 20 for initiative, she's running towards Ghostface, right? Like, she,
yes.
Something that I think is very indicative of Sydney Prescott being, like, the new final girl, like, quote-unquote, as far as, like, the revitalization of the concept of a final girl, is that, like, you will never catch her, like, running away from something for longer than it's necessary, right? Like, she tends to, like, I would say the most running away she does is in the first movie. And then from there, like, every movie, she just kind of keeps running towards Ghostface as opposed to, like, away yeah. from Ghostface.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Which I think is cool and fucking swaggy. Let's see. Something that she's in her 30s. She's not old, right? But, like, she is older than she was when she was in her early 20s, and her fighting skills are fucking, like, she's kicking bitches, she's fucking sideswiping her, like,
yes,
she is really, you know,
yeah,
she's really MMA fighting these bitches.
It,
you know,
only improves, like, from movie to movie. Yeah. She gets stronger.
Yeah. Okay, Jesse, I don't know if you clocked this, but did you notice that Moonneck made an appearance in this movie?
Oh my god, yes.
Adam fucking Brody Adam plays Brody. A cop in this movie, and literally he comes on screen and I go, Moonneck!
Oh my god, I literally, because I've been watching Gilmore Girls, if you can't tell, he's been re-rolled in my mind as Adam Brody. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
So, like, the nickname has, like, worn for me.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, you saying Moonneck, like, immediately, like, something jolted back into my body viscerally.
Well, it's funny because we cover him twice in previous seasons, and then he just made another appearance. I'm like, Adam Brody, Scream King. Like,
Scream King, who's like, knows what the rules are for cops in movies.
Yeah.
Like, it's so yeah. good.
Okay, let's see. What else do I have to say? I kind of mentioned this earlier, but, like, no, I think I mentioned this off. I think I mentioned this off mic. I didn't. This happened on mic. I don't remember what time is. Like, where are we? What's happening?
What is time? It's not real.
Everything that's happened has always been happening all the time. Anyway. Sydney, like, something that, like, feels so deeply profound to me about Sydney is that, like, she's just, like, a very earnest and kind and genuine person. And again, despite everything that's happened to her, right? Like,
yeah.
I would have let that make me a fucking asshole. You know what I mean?
Right. And that she has this, like, thing within herself to be able to, like, figure her shit out and continue to be like a contributing member of society. I actually respect it mm-hmm. so much, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to wrap this up. Sorry. Okay. I will say this bitch's head is on a swivel. Like she like the second she hears something fucking shady, she's like, I'm grabbing a knife. Like I'm, you know what I mean? Like she's constantly on guard, on vigilance, you know? Okay. This is something that we really need to discuss. And that is, why is Sydney dressed like this? Why is Sydney dressed like this? She is so hot. She's in her 30s. Okay. She's not 55 years old. But okay. But then I was having this meltdown and then I realized, this is a rich text. The reason Sydney is dressed this way is because her wardrobe gets more conservative throughout the franchise, right? Mm. And I think that the conservative wardrobe is a reflection of the like acquired trauma and like and desire to not be like seen and recognized as like, you know, like as like a as someone who like when you're walking down the street, you don't want to be like, oh, that's a hot bitch, or like that's like a, you know what I mean? You want to blend in as much as possible if you're Sydney Prescott, right?
Interesting. Okay.
So I came full circle on that one, but it's just a shame because Neve Campbell's so fucking hot. It's crazy.
Neve Campbell's hot. I think this, okay. It's interesting that you say like more and more conservative to not get noticed, because I feel like mm-hmm. also part of it, if we're really thinking about the metaverse, mm-hmm. not
yeah, the metaverse.
The metaverse lowercase, like of Scream in general. Mm-hmm. Could it be that she is slowly being sharpened and sharpened more and more into a true final girl who is usually like more pure, more, you know what I mean?
A rich text.
A rich text.
Mm. Again, we'll cover it in the dissertation. Okay, I have like two more things to say.
Okay, go.
Something that I think is interesting is that she gives real mama bear energy in this movie.
Yes.
Like, she very much takes on a mothering role, like, for Jill and her friends, right? And, like, you know, really, like, she says that line about how she's like, you remind me of me, right? You yes. know?
Yes.
And something else that I'm like, clock that tea, girl, is when she goes, if you can't trust him, don't let him in. And I'm like, okay, heard.
I know.
Which goes back to the fact that we should never trust men except for that one specific time. You know what I mean?
Okay. I literally wrote down at that point, like, R.I.P. Chirby, which is Charlie and Kirby.
Chirby?
Because he's, like, tied up in the chair. And then the second I wrote it, I thought, why is he tied up in a chair and not stabbed? Like,
yeah.
And I was just like, no.
Yeah. okay. I think last, okay. Goes to the eyeballs with Jill. She fucking like, and okay, something that I think is crazy is that Sydney goes into full fight mode mere seconds after regaining consciousness from being in the ICU.
Dude, it's it's incredible. Like, she's getting kicked in the stomach where her stab wounds are.
Yeah.
And she's still just like, actually, there's a gun within reach and I'm not going to miss my shot. Like,
yeah. Okay. That is like my like final thing. Last thing, queen of the double take. Again, she knows to put two holes in, one in the heart and one in the head. You know what I mean?
It's John Wick. It's giving John Wick.
It's John Wick. Okay. Wow. Does that mean we gotta fight him?
It's time to fight.
Ah! Oh my god. Okay. Okay, should we give the can you please give the audience the context of in which this fight is taking place? Because I thought it was particularly genius.
Okay, thank you so much. It's okay, in the spirit of this being the Screamisode, the reason that they are fighting, / where they are fighting, is on the set of Stab.
Mm-hmm.
In Stu's house.
Mm-hmm.
And the premise gets a little fuzzy, so stay with me here. They each think the other person is the one who's like playing them in the movie, and is trying to kill them. And so they're trying to kill each other, like out of self-defense.
Yeah, the thing that I really found particularly true to this interpretation of how the fight begins is Sydney's a theater major. Like, Sydney has theater background, right? And so she wants the leading role. She wants to be the star. And so, like, one of these Sydneys is going to have to fucking die so that way the other one can be the star of the Stab franchise. So
she's got to have something in the fifth house. Like, let's be so honest with ourselves.
Like, oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the house of Leo. Can we at least get something in there, people? Like,
can we at least get some fucking Leo in there? Like,
she could be Leo rising.
She really, I mean, again, we don't have the risings. We really don't know.
Because that's she a could warm. Be. Anyway, whatever. Let's make these bitches fight.
So again, here we are. We're on the set of Stab, and we're on the set. We are in Stu Mocker's Stab house, and we got Sydney Prescott from Scream 2 in one corner of the room, Sydney Prescott from Scream 4 in the other corner of the room. We know that only one can be the star of the franchise.
Yeah.
Who's making it out? Jesse?
Well, I'll tell you who I think it is. No, just kidding. They have to fight.
They gotta fight.
So, can we refer to them as Sydney 2 and Sydney 4?
Yes.
Okay, great, great. Okay, so where do we begin?
Yeah, great question. Okay, so I think that, like, we're on the set of Stab, right? So, like, a couple of things here. There's obviously going to be a lot of, like, prop elements that are, like, involved in the Stab franchise, right? Like, fake knives. But maybe, like, we're doing one of those, like, unethical, like, movie set situations a la Alec Baldwin. And there's a real knife, like, hidden amongst the fake knives. You know what I mean? Right? We're also thinking, like, big, like sets, so, like huge, like, light displays that could, like, potentially come crashing down, right?
Yes.
We're thinking maybe, like, I don't know, what else we got on a movie set, you know? Like,
I mean, all the furniture and stuff, anything that's, like, breakable glass stuff. There's probably a couple of ghost face masks.
Yeah, for sure.
Around.
There's probably a plethora of those.
Probably a plethora. And the key point here is that I think that this is such a fake house that, like, they're not, it's not actually, like, when you leave the house, you're not outside. You are still on set.
Yes. Yeah. And that, like, certain doors don't open to rooms. They open to, like, you know, nothing because it's a set, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to know where I think the fight starts?
Okay, start it.
Okay. So I think, as we discussed in the discussion of scores, Sydney, like, throughout the franchise is only, like, she consistently is starting to run towards things more, right? Mm. So I think Sydney 4 is going to be the one to incept the fight. I think Sydney 4 is going to be the one to make the first move.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I've been around the block. I've done this. Like, I know that, like, if I'm going to be the star of this franchise, I got to, like, put in the work and fucking go after this bitch, right? So I think that Sydney 4 grabs a prop knife that she doesn't know is a prop knife, assumes it's a real knife, right?
Okay.
And so she runs to, like, towards Sydney 2 with the prop knife. Sydney 2 is like, whoa, you know, right? And I think that Sydney 2, like, she, like, in an attempt to, like, avoid being stabbed, she, like, tries to take it in the shoulder, right? So, like, Sydney 4 comes down on her and, like, stabs her, quote unquote, in the shoulder. But then very quickly we find out it wasn't a real knife. It was a dummy knife.
Mm, okay. I love it. Okay. So I think what she are they in the kitchen then?
Yeah, let's say they're in the kitchen.
Okay, fab. So basically what I think is going to happen is, I think also Sydney too, being the theater gal she is, is probably like, that could be fake. You know what I mean? Like, so part of that is part of the calculation, right? She gets barreled into, but she kind of, like, anticipates that. So it doesn't knock her over or anything. I think that what happens is she kind of absorbs her and, like, drops her to the ground.
Mm, okay.
And then makes a run for it.
Okay.
So I think as she's running, she's got to look for something in the house to grab. I think maybe a mask is a good call, especially since she was just in the play with all the masks, as she runs up. So I think she should go up the stairs. I don't know. I'm just a big stairs girly. But it's like, get the higher ground, Anakin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So she runs upstairs, mask in hand. Sydney 4, pain tolerance, 1,000 out of 10, right? So she's going to recover from that pretty fucking quickly. Yeah. But maybe she doesn't see the mask grab go down, right? But she gets up and is on her way.
I know what happens next.
Okay.
And to be fair, I'm ripping this straight from Scream 3, so sorry.
Let's go.
But Sydney too, right? She grabs the Ghostface Max. She runs upstairs, and in the upstairs, instead of like it being like, you know, Stu's actual upstairs, it's like a dressing room kind of area. Like it's like a it's got like costumes and stuff. And so there's a bunch of Ghostface like silhouettes and like masks like hanging like on these like on this like rack, right?
Okay.
And so Sydney too puts on the mask and like stands in like that like rack to like kind of like camouflage with the Ghostface masks, right? And so Sydney Four runs up, and this again, this happens in Scream 3, but anyway, technically Sydney's not involved in when it happens. Another character is involved. It's a whole thing anyway. But you said she grabbed the mask, and I was like, this is what's gonna happen. So anyway, Sydney Four runs upstairs, and she sees a bunch of these ghost face like silhouettes, and she's like, the fuck, right? She's like, uh-oh. And so she's kind of like moving about the room, trying to like suss out like, okay, like is Ghostface up in here? Like what's going on, right? Like where the fuck did Sydney number two go, right? And I think that like Sydney is kind of clocked that like she's like, oh, like this bitch is trying to pull one on me and be in the Ghostface outfit to like freak me out, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think what she does is she like she she. What weapon? She needs like some sort of bludgeoning device. What is it?
I was gonna where say does like she find a it? Bat or something, or maybe like what mm-hmm. kind of room is she in? Is she in somebody's room that would have like a hair dryer or a lamp? Maybe.
Ooh, okay, yeah. Maybe let's grab a lamp.
Okay.
Like a makeup lamp or something. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
It's a dressing room, right?
Yeah.
So she grabs like a makeup lamp, and she's kind of like going down the like row of ghost faces. And she thinks she's like identified which one is Sydney too, right? And she like. Swings, right? And it's not Sydney too. So she's like, fuck, right? And then Sydney too, I think, jumps out from that point like rips the ghost face mask off. I think what happened is when Sydney four like went to go like with the lamp, she kind of like stumbled and like dropped the lamp, and like there's broken like glass like on the floor with the lamp. Sydney two like jumps out, like rips off the mask, and then like grabs one of the shards of glass on the ground and starts wielding it towards Sydney four.
Oh, shit. Okay. So I think what's going to happen next is Sydney Four starts to back up because, like, mm-hmm. she does not have an item now.
Yeah.
And I think she's going to try to, like, lure because she realizes she needs to, like, get the fuck out. Behind her – are they on the – they're on the second floor, though, but it's in a room that's being repurposed as a fitting
room.
Yeah,
as, like, a dressing room. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Amazing. So there is a window. Mm-hmm. And I think she's going to, like, slowly back up and get to a point mm-hmm. where waiting for Sydney 2 to charge
mm-hmm.
and try to move out of the way and sort of get her through the window.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So basically, Sydney 2 barrels at her, has a mm-hmm. has her stabbing thing. Mm-hmm. She might actually get her a little bit, like, to some mm-hmm. degree, because basically Sydney 4 is going to try to jump out of the way and mm-hmm. – make sure that she gets out the window, essentially.
Yeah.
So as she falls out the window, I want Sydney Ford to also try to, like, push her through. Do you know what I mean? If she's, like, struggling.
So I think, like, in the altercation, like, when she's pushing her, she maybe, like, sideswipes her with the glass and she, cool. like, cuts her forearm, you know?
I love it.
So there's a bleeding Sydney Four. And then, so, okay, you said Sydney Two got pushed out a window?
Yeah.
What happened? She fell on the ground? Like, what happened?
I think she's rolling on the roof.
Oh, okay. So she didn't get on. She's like on the roof. She didn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think she's fallen all the way. If she has fallen, she's at least grabbing the gutter. But like, I don't know. What do you think? She like rolled a bit, and Sydney Four is like, I think Sydney Four is then looking around the room, like she's out the window, and so Sydney Four is mm-hmm. like looking to grab an extra thing and then get out there to fucking take this bitch down.
Okay. So Sydney 2 is dangling from the roof and Sydney 4 went downstairs? Or?
No. Sydney 4 goes out the window to follow her but has an item.
Oh, okay. What is the item?
Okay. So if they're in a dressing room, what's a good like sharp item in a dressing room? Maybe like a curling iron or something?
Yeah.
That was like
just
plugged in?
Yeah. Like a hot curling iron?
Yeah, hot curling iron. Yeah.
Okay, so Sydney 4 is scaling the roof, trying to locate where Sydney 2 like landed, basically on the roof, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think Sydney 4 at this point is like let's stop fucking playing games here, bitch. Like we need to it's act 3. You know what I mean? Like let's wrap it up, right?
Yeah.
And so I think what happens is that, like, Sydney 4 is, like kind of, like, scoping out the roof and is trying to figure out what happened. I think Sydney 2, when she stumbled out of the window and is, like, hanging on to the ledge, I think that she noticed that, like, she's like, far enough down, or, like, she's, like, not high enough up that, like, she falls, she's going to crash, right? So I think that what she does is she, like, makes a strategic, like, drop. And she, like, tumbles onto, like, the exterior of the set, right?
Okay.
I think she's a little bruised up from that. I think that it's not like a delicate fall, you know? Yeah. But I think she, like, tumbles off, right? And so I think that what happens is that, like, Sydney 2, Sydney 2, I think we said it throughout the notes that, like, both of these Sydneys, like, don't be running away from shit for very long, yeah. You know? And so I think that once Sydney 2, like, hits the floor, I think she spots Sydney 4 on the roof, and she's like, I'm gonna light the house on fire.
What? Wait, hang on, wait. Time out. Can I make an adjustment to what happens when...
Yes.
Okay. When she falls, I feel like there should be a, like, porch banister.
Okay.
Below that maybe she's trying to, like, put her feet onto.
Uh-huh.
And she falls anyway. But I think it should break part of the banister off.
Okay.
Okay. It's important to the plot.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. But she falls, and you think she's going to go try to set the house on fire? Is that what's happening?
I think what she like sees that Sydney's on the roof, and I think that she's thinking endgame shit at this point, right? You know how, like, in the second movie she's like, she starts going, like, ham on the, like, theater tech stuff?
Yeah.
I think that what she's gonna try to do is, like, go ham on, like, the set stuff, right? And so I think that she starts, like maneuvering all the, like, set shit, right? And I think that part of the set maneuvering is that, like, a fire is started, right?
Can you tell me more about how?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question.
Because I'm like, we can't just have a fire start. Like, this is a controlled set.
I think I can start a fire wherever I want to start a fire. Okay, I think what happens is, so you know how in 2, she has, like, the like, switchboard that, like, like, electric shock, right? I think what she's, like, doing is that, like, on the set of Stab, whatever number Stab this is, there's, like, a thunder, like, effect, right? And I think that she's, like, starting to, like, try to, like, fiddle with the thunder effect stuff, right?
Okay. And this is, and, like, set near where the porch is? Okay.
Yeah. So, behind the scenes, but, like, not, like, just out of view of the, like, the actual, where the camera would be showing what's happening.
Got it.
No,
I'm listening. I'm here.
And so I think she's better idea. She's, like, fiddling with the thing, and she's, like, doing the thunder and, like, the thunder effects and stuff. And instead of catching on fire, I think she turns on the smoke machine. And so the, like, smoke is, like, filling the, like, room, right? I think that Sydney 4, like, descends from the house and, like, is, like, like, going to try to, like, meet Sydney 2, like, amongst the smoke, right? So, like, the smoke is smoking. It's giving very, like,
drama.
Yeah, right? And so the smoke is smoking. And then I think what happens is they see each other kind of through the fog, right? There's, like, a prop table, right? And there are a series of prop knives on the table, right?
Okay.
And out of the knives, all of them are fake but one. I think that each Sydney, like, runs to the prop table and grabs a knife. I think only one Sydney has the real knife. And then I think that they get into a stabbing fight.
Okay. So, Sydney 4 charges at Sydney 2. They look at the prop table at the same time, grab a knife. Sydney 4, I think, is going to try to tackle Sydney 2.
Okay.
To get on top of her.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
And it's a struggle because Sydney 2 is holding her knife at the same time and trying to, like, they're trying to, like, grapple with, like, who, like, holding each other's knives back while still trying to stab the other one. And I think that as they are, as Sydney 4 is on top of Sydney 2, Sydney 2 is pretty strong. She's the one who punches Gale in the face. So she moves, like, what is it called? Rolls over on top of Sydney 4. Sydney 4 is also very strong. Okay, we're not denying that, but you know what I mean? She's exhausted. Yeah. Sydney 2 gets on top of her and is about to stab, okay?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what we see as the audience is the knife go in. Mm-hmm. And we hear a knife going in sound.
Uh-huh.
But when we Sydney 2 removes her knife, there's no blood. Because it's the kind that just collapses. Mm-hmm. And Sydney 4 from underneath has stabbed her from underneath with her knife.
And I think what happens is Sydney 4 pulls out the knife and she gives a titular line reading of "Don't fuck with the original."
Wow.
And then Sydney 4 moves on.
And then Sydney 4 also probably like slits her throat or something so that because like double tap always.
Yeah, because she probably also like goes into her car, grabs a gun, and then like, you know, puts a bullet in Sydney 2's head.
She threw that.
Oh my god!
Yay! Oh my god. Okay. Bless wow, up. I love Sydney 4. I love this for her.
I love this for her too. And honestly, I'm not gonna lie. This is the best episode we've ever done because it's about Scream.
It's about Scream.
And that's all you need to be a good podcast is be about Scream.
And you know what? This is your pod, so.
This is my pod. So, wow. I feel invigorated.
I do too. That was amazing.
Okay. Should we do appreciation stage?
You tell me.
Chugga 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 choo choo.
What's that sound, Alyssa?
It's the appreciation train rolling into the appreciation station, Jesse. All right, y'all. We got to appreciate some bitches right up top. We got to appreciate Devin McNaughton and the Burly Girlies, both the amazing folks who kind of put together our beautiful intro prelude. Devin McNaughton gives our explicit warning, and the Burly Girlies, of course, lend their musical talents to the jam bop that is Whore for Horror.
Yes. Bless up. We also want to say thank you to Prince Jackson, who is our pod father, who has taken us under his pod wing in the Good Night Network. We are proud members of the Good Night Network. This is a Good Night production. Yes, 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 yes.
I also want to shout out that the Good Night pod has a Sydney of their own now. The third co-host on that podcast is a one Miss, I don't remember her last name, but a one Miss Sydney, who has her own podcast, called, Oh Hello Sydney.
Wow.
And she spells it the way that Sydney Prescott spells it. So
wow.
Clock that.
Iconic. We love it.
Okay. Some general gratitudes. I'm going to try not to make this, the part where I start jerking off about Scream. But I really need people to know that Wes Craven and Kevin Williamson and Nev Campbell and Courtney Cox and David Arquette and all those fucking bitches who make the Scream franchise what it is. Thank you for making these movies. I think it's so interesting, like the way our like silly little human brains just like grab onto something and become so hyper fixated with it. You know, I was thinking about this the other day when I was like, we're doing the Screamisode, right? And I'm so excited. But like Scream is really like a something that I'm like so hyper obsessed with, and I don't really have a good reason why. I just fucking love it, right? And I think that it's part of the fun part about being human is like how our brains like do this thing where they get like super excited about something. And so I just want to thank Jesse as well for letting me speak for, as of right now, 1 hour and 7 minutes about Scream. So yeah, thank you to the creators of Scream and to Jesse for letting me talk about it.
Oh my gosh, thank you to Alyssa for being in this pod with me, because I love you so much and I'm so grateful for these movies too. I feel like they are so extremely fun. I really appreciate the excessive meta-ness of the entire thing, lowercase m, and because I just feel, yeah, as I was watching Scream 4, I literally had a note that just went, Scream is so fun. Like, it's like,
yes!
I wrote, and
it's a rich text.
It's a rich text. It's a good time. It's a romp. So I had a really, really great time watching and doing the pod about it. I also want to thank you, the listeners. Thank you for spending time with us and for hearing our shenanigans and for loving us and living us and live, laugh, loving us. Okay.
And again, DM us if you want to join the 4-hour dissertation where I talk at you on Zoom for an endless period of time about Scream. So
yes. And even if you don't want to do the dissertation on Zoom, that's okay. We still love you. But you can also Follow us.
Follow us. Yeah. Follow us on the social medias. On Instagram, we are at Final Girl Standing Pod. And on Twitter, we are at Final Girl _ Pod. I believe last pod, we discussed that, like, are people on Twitter? Like, what's happening there? We don't really know. So, again, like, if you have a suggestion of where to be on the socials that isn't Twitter, please let us know. Where are the horror baddies at? Tumblr, is that a thing? I don't know.
Is Tumblr a thing? Is Tumblr back?
Tumblr back.
That actually brings up a really good point, which is that, like, we most likely will release these a little bit later than we actually recorded them. So sorry if you've already told us at this point what the
Sorry. Sorry
I reiterated that. On the new hot socials at this point, future us.
Yeah. At this point, we've got 1 million followers on TikTok. It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, we're super famous at that point. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Sorry, I dropped a bunch of notebooks.
Snore. Also, speaking of the social medias, is that we will be posting the bracket and other relevant shit to our social media. So please follow the social media if you want to, like, you know, be involved in, like, the bracket stuff and, like, kind of, excuse me, getting hyped about, you know, all of the upcoming shenanigans, which, Jesse, what upcoming shenanigans are we getting up to next episode?
Okay, next episode is all about Ripley, and we haven't decided which movies exactly we're going to do, so that'll be a fun surprise for us too. But there's only 4 that Ripley's actually in. I was going to try to get the actual text, but I believe it's Alien, Aliens, Alien 3, and Resurrection.
And Alien Resurrection. Yeah.
So two of those 4 we'll be studying deeply. And
get ready to be horny for Sigourney.
I was gonna say it's in the name. It's not. But
it's not.
Get ready.
It's in our Instagram bio.
It's in our Instagram bio. It's also I have a bumper sticker because for my birthday Alyssa made me a bumper sticker, and that should have been part of my general gratitude, is that I have a bumper sticker now that says horny for Sigourney, and it has her putting her foot up just like I got so excited about in the original Alien episode. And yeah, we did an episode about Ripley already. Come for me. I don't fucking care.
Yeah, literally fight me.
Actually, I don't want to fight.
Also, I have the matching bumper sticker, and I'm so bummed because I can't actually put it on my car because my car took a shit, and so I'm, like, borrowing my dad's car right now, and he just simply won't allow me to put horny for Sigourney on the back of his Chevy truck.
What?
Which is, like, kind of homophobic.
Why not?
We're canceling my dad for being homophobic. Anyway, let's end this screamisode the only way we know how, and that is with a moment of silence for dear Sydney 2. Everyone, take a quick moment to close your eyes and think upon the girl who went to Windsor College. Mm. And
Cassandra.
Cassandra, yes. Cassandra. And now a moment of silence. Ready? And silence. Amen.
Amen. Praise be.
Praise be to the Screamisode.
Praise be to Prescott.
Praise be to Sydney Prescott. Ah! Okay, thank you all. I love you. Okay.